The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
I want to stick with our coverage of COVID-19 because in addition to that emergence of that new variant from South Africa, we also had the publication of the National Public Health Emergency Team's latest recommendations to government yesterday evening. Amongst those recommendations are that children over the next couple of weeks would curtail their indoor socialising activities, so no play dates or sleepovers or even going along to the school nativity play. And also in primary schools, that from third class upwards, children would wear a face mask for some of the day. We're going to get reaction from Tanya Ward from the Children's Rights Alliance in just a moment. But earlier, I spoke to Irish Times parenting columnist Jen Hogan, and I asked her, had she broken it to her children that they may not be attending any parties over the next couple of weeks?
Do you know, I haven't actually had the conversation yet because I'm still trying to get my own head around it. I can't actually believe we're here again where we're pulling the rug from underneath children again, not prioritising their well-being and best interests. And decisions and recommendations are being taken based definitely not on the best interests of the child, as far as I'm concerned. You know, things like fun, play, joy in their lives, all these things are hugely important. And children have already made huge sacrifices over the course of the pandemic. I mean, we've had 2 years of this, 2 years where children are trying to catch up as a consequence of, you know, prolonged school closures. They're trying to catch up educationally, socially, emotionally, developmentally. And now we're turning around again and saying to them, no, you can't do the things that that bring you joy or that help you play or that are fun. Because fun and play and joy, these are things that are really, really important in children's lives. And we're at the stage where you have parents quite conscious about their children's anxiety levels and quite conscious about their worry levels. And the idea that we could send them to school, and don't get me wrong, every parent I know is hugely grateful that schools are open. But school is very, very different to how it used to be before the pandemic. It's very, very different. And the idea that they can go to school and be in the same classroom as a pal but can't play with them outside of school is just, it's just baffling. Or that parties could be pulled again, or that they can't do things that are good for their well-being. It seems incredibly unfair. And then to turn around also and jump straight into the mask recommendations for 9 years plus without perhaps at consideration for the social, emotional, developmental impacts. I'm not sure if child development experts have been consulted here, but I really think that they need to be before any decisions are taken, because, you know, children rely on facial cues. There's so much. They need to see expressions. There's a chance here that teachers will miss a distress in a child's face. I have teachers on to me speaking about these freezing cold classrooms because they're having to leave windows open, and they have teachers teaching in freezing conditions, children trying to learn in freezing conditions. There are other mitigation measures that we could have reached for first before jumping straight to the mask. But I do hope, if there is any decision to be taken here, that they will go to child development experts first and get their input, because it is so important that, you know, I understand it's emergency. I understand the situation that we're in, and I do appreciate it. But before we go and ask these huge sacrifices of children once again, I hope that child development experts are consulted so that we can look at the bigger picture, because there is more than COVID to be considered.
Jen Hogan there speaking to me earlier. As I said, Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance, is with us, but also Niall Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Higher and Further Education. Good evening, folks. Tanya, I'll get to you in just a moment, but Minister Collins, can I start off by asking you about this new variant? Lots of reaction coming from the European Commission today about a travel ban and people coming back from South Africa and other countries having to go into quarantine. Are the government working on plans this evening to implement this? And also, we don't have mandatory hotel quarantine anymore. What's going to happen?
Yeah, so the government is obviously studying the development of the new variant quite closely. The World Health Organization has had a lot to say about it during the course of the day. The EU Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has made a number of pronouncements in relation to it.
She wants the emergency break on travel.
Yeah, so it's a developing situation, and I think that we just have to be alert. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared to react. It's unknown. It's still not categorised by the WHO, the World Health Organization, as a variant of concern.
Yes. So can we expect an announcement from the government in preparation for that?
Yeah, so government will continue to watch it. Government will make a number of decisions next Tuesday at the cabinet meeting. It's quite likely, well, we don't have any direct flights, as you know, from South Africa to Ireland at the moment, so that's not an issue, or that's not a decision which has to be taken today, I suppose, similar to some other countries around the European Union and our next-door neighbours in the UK. So it's developing and it's evolving, and you know, a watching brief will be kept on that. In the meantime, we have the NPHET recommendations, which are also out there in the public domain, and they will be considered further by government on Tuesday in relation to asking children from age 9 upwards to wear face masks in indoor settings and public transport retail areas, including and obviously your indoor settings include schools, and also the recommendation by NPHET for a period of 2 weeks that indoor gatherings for children aged 12 and younger would be curtailed.
Why are we waiting until next Tuesday's cabinet meeting? Surely, given the level of incidence of COVID-19 amongst young people and its reference in Dr. Tony Holohan's letter to the government last night, surely these decisions should have been taken today.
No, well, government, look, I mean, government will consider it, but government has said over the last number of weeks, as we know, we've all been asked to reduce our number of our social contacts. We've all been asked to do that right across the board. And I think, by and large, the public has responded quite well to that. The early indications are that it's having a positive impact. So we all have a role to play in this. Government has said quite coherently from the start of the pandemic, government doesn't beat the pandemic on its own. It's our own actions. It's the public. It's the people. How we all react and follow the guidance and best practice that will help us get through, you know, help us get through to date and help us get through this current, I suppose, concerning number of weeks that we're going through.
Tanya Ward, you have some concerns about the recommendations in this letter in particular. What does concern you about them? And also, again, I put that point to Niall Collins there, we do have amongst young people the very high incidences of COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to be very difficult if the public health advice finally comes out that children as young as 9 will have to wear face masks. And you'll find that some children will be okay and will be able to wear them, and others will really struggle. But I suppose what I'm really concerned about is it is going to impede the education of some children in an education setting, particularly children with disabilities. You might have some children with conditions such as autism who find it very difficult to wear face masks or who won't be able to do it at all. And what the WHO has called for is a case-by-case basis for children with disabilities and children with special needs, that there isn't just one flat rule for everyone. And I think it's really important, if this rule does have to come in, that there's huge levels of flexibility, and it is in the best case of each individual child that a proper assessment is done. And if it is found that's going to interfere with the child's education, or it's going to harm their well-being in some way, or it's just not feasible given the health condition that they have or the disability, etc., then the face mask shouldn't be used for these groups of children. I think the bigger issue about restrictions on play dates and being at home, I understand that the recommendation is based on the fact that there has been an increase in this particular age group. It's obviously difficult for us as children's rights campaigners because we know that children are really carrying the brunt now of the pandemic restrictions. In particular, what we're seeing is every time there's an interference with schools and education, we lose children from schools. Every time that there's a closure, you see big increases in children's mental health and well-being being affected. And actually, even very recent statistics were showing we had some of the poorest emotional well-being and mental health statistics for children and young people in the European Union. And that's really down to, you know, we had some of the longest school closures, particularly in primary school in the world. So it is something that we're very worried about, but we understand the public health advice is there. It's bigger. It's trying to control the spread of the pandemic. So I just think when we're introducing these kind of measures for young children, we just have to be very careful and very flexible.
The measures, the softer measures around not having people come over for play dates or sleepovers or even watching the Late Late Show this evening amongst friends and family, is it not better that we do these things in the run-up to Christmas so that we don't have school closures or even more restrictions?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, school closures are the thing we absolutely have to avoid at all costs. You know, the WHO has said schools have to be last to close and first to open. And we should really be following that practice across the board when it comes to children and young people's activities as well. Look, I mean, 2 weeks isn't an enormous interference, but I would be concerned if it's extended for any longer period of time. I mean, I'm looking at the stats. I'm hearing from our member organisations. I'm hearing from groups across the country the effect it's having on children and young people. So it's really important we try and provide as much opportunities for them to have kind of a normal childhood and to socialise as much as possible. And that might mean that there are restrictions in other areas of life, essentially. Other areas have to close so we can allow children to have their contacts.
Now, Collins, when you saw that letter from Dr. Tony Holohan yesterday evening, do you have any issues with some of those recommendations? Do you think that the government will give the go-ahead to putting face masks on children in primary schools and also the softer measures of curbing activities for at least the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, so it's important to remember, not only have we seen an increase in the prevalence of COVID in younger people and children, but particularly children aged under 12 are unvaccinated. So the virus is seeking out unvaccinated people. It's seeking out younger people and also in the older age cohorts, unvaccinated people who unfortunately are contributing to about 50% of people currently in ICU. So the government is taking measures to identify the cohorts who are unvaccinated, in this instance younger people, and we're bringing in some measures which will try and help suppress the prevalence of the virus among that cohort within our population, whilst at the same time hopefully the vaccination program for people aged 5 to 12 will get the green light. We know it's got the green light from the EMA, so hopefully NIAC will green light it here very, very shortly, and we can get that up and running, and that will really clear a lot of the concern around younger people. I think it's also very important to note, because a lot of people won't actually read the six-page NPHET letter, but the actual wording of the recommendation is that subject to the development of appropriate guidance on a temporary basis and subject to a review in mid-February of next year, the wearing of face masks and coverings by children. So they're saying that there has to be appropriate guidance, and they're also saying in the next sentence that there will have to be appropriate exemptions to children from wearing face masks. So obviously there will be a proper consultation in terms of coming up with appropriate guidance on how to instruct people and organisations who are engaging with children aged between 9 and 12 how they should go about the use of face masks indoor.
Okay, Noel
so
Collins.
It will be done on a very appropriate and measured basis.
Okay, Noel Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Higher and Further Education, and Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.